Turn to 156, Glory to His Name. Now stand as we sing. 156, Glory to His Name. Everyone singing now. Down at the cross where my Savior died, down from for cleansing from sin I cry. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Father, we thank Thee for this another golden day that You've given us. We thank Thee, Lord, for each and every individual who's come out this morning to sing glory to Your name. And we thank Thee, Lord, for each one who has sang that. We pray, Lord, that we've sung that from the depths of our heart. And right now, Lord, we want to pause and say thank You for everything You've given us. We thank Thee, Lord, for all the instructors that we have in our Sunday school department, each one of our Sunday school teachers, as they endeavor every Sunday morning to try to teach their young people the way of Jesus. We thank Thee, Lord, for our pianist and what she means to the church. We thank Thee, Lord, for each and every person who has a part in the church, whether great or small. Above all, Lord, we thank Thee for the faithful ones who come out every Sunday. We pray, Lord, that You will take the message this morning and bless it tremendously. And we pray, Lord, that even now You may be speaking to our hearts as we commit the service entirely in Thy hands at this very moment. In Jesus' name we pray, His name. Amen. Let us turn to 192, number 192. We're marching to Zion. 192. Before we reach the heavenly field, oh, come. starts our daily vacation Bible school. And the posters you've probably seen around our community and other churches have the date as our sign up here says on the 18th. Well, that's a mistake. It starts on the 19th. The 18th is Sunday. The vacation Bible school starts on Monday. And everyone who wants to come, we want you to try to be out in front of your houses at 8 o'clock in the morning, every Monday through Friday morning on the week of our vacation Bible school. And we'll try to have cars, transportation furnished to you so you can come. We're trying to have 50 enrolled, and we know that we can have 50 if each and every one will come out. We also want to be praying for our revival as Brother Jerry Green from South Winfield in Winfield, Louisiana, comes down and brings us our revival starting on the 15th of August. Last week, I found this very interesting article taken out of the Baptist Chimes of the First Baptist Church in Shreveport. I want to read it to you. It's entitled, "Don't Let the Heat Cool Your Love for the Lord." It seems that a good many Christians read their Bibles like this. "I will come into the house in the multitude of thy mercy, except in July and August. The Lord is in his holy temple, except in July and August. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, except in the months of July and August. And God is known in her palaces for a refuge, except in July and August. My soul longeth, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord, except July and August. Preach the word, and be instant in season and out of season, except in July and August. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, except in July and August. And they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers, except in the months of July and August." And I know that we are not like these people. We wouldn't be here this morning, so I'm not speaking to you, but I'm speaking about the people who stayed home this morning. We want everyone to try to come out. And it's during these trying months of July and August where the heat's keeping us all at home. I want to urge each and every one of you to try to come to church every Sunday and come to the Lord's house to sing glory to his name and worship in his sanctuary. And I hope that during these trying months of July and August, we won't let the heat cool our love for the Lord. Let us stand and turn to 150. Number 150, "There's Power in the Blood." We haven't sang this in a long time. Trust, try, and prove me. Number 19. our offering, and Brother Barnett to lead our prayer. Song service. Following the singing of Moment by Moment, we'll bow our heads for a short period of meditation, in which Dorothy Carlson and Billy Carolyn Turnage will come and bring our special music for the morning. We'll be praying for them as they do that, as we sing Moment by Moment now.
Thank you.
you have your Bibles this morning, turn to the book of James, third chapter of James. Starting with the first verse. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that ye shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offendeth not in word, the same is a perfect man, and also able to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouth, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be great, are driven of fierce winds, yet they are turned about by so little helm, wheresoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defieth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast, and of birds, and of serpents, and all things the sea is tamed, and hath not been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Wherewith bless we God, even the Father, and wherewith curse ye men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessings and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be. I like that when James says some people curse and other people praise God. But he said these things should not be, the tongue that does both of these things. But James goes on to say, doth the fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either the vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Here we find the words of James as he talks about the tongue. And this morning, for the next few moments, we want to think about the power that we have in our tongue. You know, the Lord has given each and every one of us a tongue, but he's given us a tongue to be used in the right way to try to magnify God as he has given to us. The tongue is a very powerful thing. As the tongue speaks things, the whole world can be changed. And that is evident in the fact that in the very beginning, God said, let there be light. And immediately there was light. But there was light because God had spoken with his tongue. And here we see how greatly things can be done through the tongue. Yes, the power that we have in our tongue. Over in Psalms, we find these words, Psalm 39:1. I said, I will take heed to my ways, that I might not sin with my tongue, that I sin not with my tongue. David says, I'm going to do all I can now to try not to let my tongue sin. I'm going to bridle my tongue as you put a bridle in the horse's mouth so that if you want to turn right, you can slightly touch the reins and the horse will turn right. And he says, I'm going to do the same thing to my mouth and to my tongue in that everything I say will be in accordance with the will of God. And I wonder this morning, are we Christians, children of God, are we guarding every word that we say, in that the words that we speak are words that Christ would want us to speak and not what we want to say? It's so easy to utter evil things with our mouth, and we'll do that unless we guard our tongue in a great way. You know, the tongue is very uncontrollable. It's very hard to control our tongue. If you have a small flame beside a lot of brush, things that are easily kindled, that little small flame, before you know it, is going to have that whole bush just a-burning like everything. And today, the affairs of mankind are being heaped upon each other, and it's getting higher and higher and higher, and all we have to do is speak evil. And it's the evil tongue that we have, as James says, it's nothing but a flame. It's going to set upon fire the affairs of mankind today. And the whole world is going to be burning with the evil things that we speak out of our mouth. As we're in the city, and as we lay in our bed at nighttime and we hear the fire engine, we shudder to think that somebody's house is probably burning down. As we hear the ambulance as it goes down the highway, we shudder to think of what the consequences are. We shudder to think that perhaps someone is being killed or has been killed. Someone is in pain. Someone needs help. And even so today, we should dread the evil things that we hear that are processed out of the mouths of evil men that we come in contact with every day. We look at the lions in the circus. And these animals, even as they are, as wild as they are in the jungle, they have been tamed. We can go and see all the other animals that we have. Many of them have been tamed. They've been tamed by men that specialize in that work. Even we go out and see the birds of the air, they have been tamed also. Yet we look at the tongue of man, and we see the tongue has not been tamed, and it speaks as its master wants it to speak, not as God would have it to speak. The tongue is an instrument for evil today. And no matter where we go, in the highways or the hedges, we'll find people speaking against God. And it's so easy, as we're in the crowd and they're telling a dirty joke, that we too will enter right on in and will not refrain ourselves. We are not bridling our tongue so that it'll speak not evil against God who has made it. And as our tongue is an instrument of evil, it's not an instrument to be destroyed. Instead, the tongue is an instrument to be converted. Look in the Bible. And we find a perfect example of that as Saul. Every time Saul opened his mouth, thousands of Christians were being persecuted and killed. Every time he opened his mouth and spoke with his tongue, people were being put to death because of the evil influence that was behind the tongue of Saul. You know the story of how, as Paul was on the road to Damascus, God changed his tongue. And instead of an evil tongue of which Saul possessed, he now, as his name was changed to Paul, possessed a praising tongue, a tongue that praised God everywhere he went. And we can follow the life of Paul throughout the whole Bible, and we'll find that every time he opened his mouth, he said something good for the Lord. He tried to promote the kingdom of God by the uttering of words that he spoke with his tongue. And I wonder today, are we half as good as Paul in that we are bridling our tongue, speaking only of things that would help other people instead of hindering other people? Our tongue must not be idle. It said that if our heart is good, then our tongue will naturally be good. And that if our heart believes in the salvation of Jesus Christ, and if that our heart believes in the saving grace of God, then our tongue also will confess the very same thing. And then if our heart believes, then our tongue will too believe. And if our heart is meek, then our tongue will be very gentle. And if our heart is angry, then our tongue too will be angry. The tongue is a hand, really, to show what is going on within our body. And as we live beside people, we soon know what makes up their life. And as we first meet someone, we don't know, perhaps immediately, what that person is made of or what kind of a life that person is living. But as we listen to that person talk in the next course of days or weeks, we know what that person is made up of. And we know the condition of the soul of that person through what that person says, because the tongue is giving that person away. And today our tongue is giving us away. We can go to church on Sunday and we can fool the preacher, and we can fool our Sunday school teachers, and we can fool everybody in the world. Yet there's someone beside God who knows what kind of a life we're living. And they know, because it is our tongue who has given us away. Thomas Adams says this concerning the tongue. He says that the heart of the fool is in their mouth, whereas the mouth of the wise is in their heart. And the heart today is telling our tongue what to say. And today we find people who, one day, who are praising the Lord. They're singing glory to the name in church and to God. But then when they get out of the sanctuary, they're immediately going out and they're cursing with that same tongue. That should not be. James says these things should not be, brethren. And today he's speaking to you, and he's saying these things should not be. And next time you say that, you should guard, and you should bridle your tongue.